All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Bob Gould.
Here we are, Veterans Radio, on another great live program right here from Talk Radio 1600, WAAM, coming to you from the Garden Spot in Michigan, Ann Arbor. Boy, we got a heck of a program today. We got all kinds of things for veterans. And by the way, folks, you know, when you listen to the program, well, I'll tell you what you're going to want to do. You're always going to want to have a pencil, crayon, whatever, something to write on, because we give all kinds of information. We got lots of information today. We got books to tell you about. We have Memento, Chest, Life Chest, right? Yeah, there we go. So we've got that. And we're just getting ready to start right now. And how are we doing? Okay. All right. Well, we're trying to make communication with Senator Mike Kowal. And we'll be with the senator in just a moment. But last week, last Saturday, there was a event over at the state capitol, and it was all about a couple of cannons. A couple of cannons were placed on the state house. Well, with me right now is Dave Engel, historian, Civil War. I mean, this guy knows everything about the Civil War. Why don't you tell us about those cannons?
Well, thank you, Bob. It's a pleasure to be on the program. Last Saturday at the state capitol, the state dedicated two replicas from Loomis's battery, and that was the program.
Who's Loomis?
Loomis was the commander of the battery from Coldwater, Michigan. They were formed at the beginning of the Civil War, and they ended up having an incredible record in the Civil War and probably was the state of Michigan's most well-known artillery battery.
And what did they call those guys? Were they the Wolverines?
No, that was Custer's men, the Michigan Cavalry.
Oh, okay.
They were the Wolverines. But Loomis's battery was involved in some of the bloodiest battles, some of the most terrible battles of the Western theater. They were at Perryville, Chickamauga. At Chickamauga, they actually were overrun.
Holy moly.
Yeah, there were six. They had six guns, and they were Parrot guns.
Okay, why were they called Parrot guns?
Well, a gentleman named Parrot was the gentleman who actually designed the guns.
Of course.
Okay, and they were known as 10-pounders because they shot a 10-pound ball, cannonball, or shell. So that's where they got their name.
Now, when I was in the mortars, to get more range, we put more powder not in the shell or in the projectile, but in the breech. Is that what they did to get more range, or that was it? You put one bag of powder and then you put the shell in, and boom.
Pretty much. They pretty much had a standard round that they used.
But they
were rifled, so they.
That's what I.
But they could use different types of shot in there.
I just got a signal from Nina. Nina, thank you very much. Great signal. On the phone with us right now, calling from somewhere in Michigan, is Senator Mike Kowal. He's White Lake Township. He was first elected to the Michigan Senate in November of 2010. He's now in his second term. He serves as majority floor leader. He's a big veteran supporter. Mike, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you very much, Bob. Good hearing you on the air.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to read a quote from you, and then we'll take it from there. Folks,
sure.
This is a quote from Mike. It's amazing the horrors these brave men went through. Michigan made a commitment to remember them, and it's time we honor them by restoring their history. Mike Kowal. Mike, tell us about that.
Well, we had the opportunity to replace the cannon that were in the front lawn of the Capitol building, and they sat there from right after the Civil War to during the scrap metal drives of the Second World War. And they were donated to make new artillery and go for steel, you know, in the foundries here in Detroit area for the war effort. So, you know, that the stone sat empty for years that the wheels, the caisson sat on. So Senator Steve Beda and myself put together an effort to raise some money. It took us 2 years to do it, but we raised about $60,000 to replace those two guns that were originally there. So they were part of the Loomis battery, which was General Cyrus Loomis out of Coldwater, Michigan. And he had his own battalion. In those days, the generals actually put money towards buying those guns themselves, so therefore it was called the Loomis Battery.
Now, where did you find these pieces?
Well, we never did find the original guns because they were melted down. We did have one gun brought in that was original from the Loomis Battery, but the two that the state of Michigan had were gone. Yeah, we scoured the state from one end to the other. We had heard that they originally moved to Mackinac Island, and from Mackinac they went into some warehouses, and then at the warehouses they were sold later on for scrap or given for scrap. But we found a cannon manufacturer down south that makes replica guns. So we ordered two new ones from them, and they did a beautiful job.
Oh, they did.
They are just identical to what was there.
Now, you're a huge veteran supporter. Tell my listeners what it was that I shouldn't say converted, but you know, when you get the passion, when you get the essence, how did that all come about with you?
Well, it was kind of put into me right from the beginning, ever since I was a small boy, because my uncle was first wave ashore in Normandy. He was on an LST and took troops ashore, and he often told me about, you know, some of the things that went on and some of the battles that he was in. So I was always interested right from the beginning, but I wasn't in a position to really help. As I, you know, moved on in life, you know, and did a variety of different things, I found myself volunteering periodically for, you know, the local VFWs. And then when I became state rep, I kicked it up a notch and did a little bit more. And later on, I became supervisor of White Lake Township, and that's when I really got involved with the post in White Lake at Oxbow Post. And we started doing turkey dinners and just a variety of different things to help out vets during the holidays, and active troops as they were coming and going, to make sure they always had food. And then Lynn O'Brien, that worked for me at the township, she's always been active with the veterans, and always found projects for me to do as well. So I guess it's the two of us together. And then this last year, my wife was making turkeys at our house, and we were taking them over to the Oxbow Post and carving them up with the other veterans and getting them down to Metro Airport so we could feed some of the active troops that were in transit and heading home and kind of stuck at the airport without a meal. So we're making sure they got fed as well. So it's just been an ongoing thing.
Well, we're going to be covering your October 8th event. I have your special aide with us today, sitting right across from me, and we kind of wanted you to begin the program, the invocation. Did I get that right, guys?
You got it right this time.
I got it right this time.
You got it right.
They all helped me. Yeah. Well, you set the tone, because I'm going to go with that quote that you had. I think it's an excellent quote, and we're going to have you back, and Lynn's going to talk about the October 8th
Sure.
And we're going to have you back, Senator, and go back to your family right now. And are you in Lake Michigan, Lake Huron?
Well, what we're doing is I'm actually working. We're having a working meeting up here at this is Lake Michigan. Yeah, that's one of the resorts up here, and we're meeting, and we're talking over policies. And actually, this is the time a little over a year ago now that we came up with a policy for veterans that are fully disabled, that they no longer have to pay property taxes if they're 100% disabled.
Well,
those are the kind of things that we do up here.
Folks, you heard it here, that these guys work on the weekends. That's right. They work on Saturdays and Sundays and holidays, and they work. Gosh, that's great. We didn't even know that. So the senator is on a working vacation, so to speak. Mike, thank you very much for being on our program. Of course you're going to come back, right? Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No?
I'll come on the air with you one day, come down to the station.
Oh, come right down to the station and sit right here in the studio. Mike, you have yourself a blessed day. Enjoy, and we'll be talking soon. Take care.
We will. You too. Thanks again.
Wow. Boy, that was really cool. Now, we got it real quick. The Parrot guns, two cannons, and 10-shot. I asked this question before, and I want to ask it again. And it's part of the quote here. It's amazing the horrors those brave men went through. Dave, I heard those cannons go off. How did they keep going?
Well, Bob, you got to remember back in the Civil War how these regiments were recruited. They recruited by town, by county, by area. So that means you were fighting next to your brother, your father, your neighbors. It was a huge dishonor if you turned around. So that's how they had the courage to go into the teeth of a gun like that.
And, what was the range, the kill range?
Well, that Parrot gun could shoot over a mile, actually.
But I understand it was like 300 yards long and 40 yards wide.
Well, it could, yeah. But it depends what you were shooting out of it. If you were shooting
grape shot, yeah.
Right, that's like a shotgun, and that's what they used at close range, where they would use rifled shells at long range. So for example, at Pickett's Charge, you know, when the Confederates were firing before Pickett's Charge, those were long range shots. But what happened was they were shooting them too far, but when you got close range, when they were getting toward the bloody angle of the Union line, the Union artillery were using grape shot. And by the way, the Union artillery was led by Henry Hunt, who was the head of the artillery for the Army of the Potomac, who was born in Detroit.
Okay. Now, why is, in your opinion, important to, I mean, besides the obvious, for these cannons to be there and for other historical and artifacts that we're constantly adding? Why do you feel in your own – and by the way, Dave Engel, I'll introduce him in just a little bit, is a Civil War historian. This guy knows everything you want to know about the Civil War, especially in Michigan. But why do you think that is?
Well, it obviously it's important to remember the past so you can – know about the future and how you're going to do things in the future. But the Civil War was such a huge event in American history. It probably was the event that united the country afterwards to make the country what it is today. So it's very important to understand what the Civil War was about. And in Michigan, it was really important because Michigan was being settled as a state. It wasn't really that old of a state at the time of the Civil War. And personally, myself, the reason I am so interested in the Civil War, that was the time period that my relatives came to Michigan.
Oh,
they had settled just before that. So they were part of the Civil War, their neighbors, their communities. Ann Arbor, where we're at today, was not that old, but was very important in the Civil War. The University of Michigan sent over 1,000 students to the Civil War.
Okay, but so you feel that bringing those artifacts around inspires that type of thought and that historical significance.
Yes,
of that.
And if you go to Lansing and you look at, of course, on the lawn, it has all kinds of monuments that had to do with the Civil War on its lawn.
Well, wow, that was... the Crown Hour. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I'm getting my bumps going here. Mm-hmm, track two, yeah, we got it. Okay, well, let's just move right along, and I think that we can go right into Vietnam and the Vietnam War, and I have with me Lynn O'Brien. Lynn O'Brien is Director, District Affairs, the Office of Senate Majority Leader Mike Kowal. Lynn, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
You got an event coming up October 8th.
Yes, it's Welcome to the Capitol, and thank you, Michigan Vietnam Era Veterans.
And I notice that you are using era, so it's just not just folks that were in the war. It's folks that were doing the designated, which was designated by our government, I believe, 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Absolutely, Bob.
I think it's 1963 to 74, if I'm not mistaken. And so it is an era, and this is going to be, well, tell us more about that event.
Well, it begins at noon, and the intent of the event is to thank and honor Michigan's Vietnam-era veterans, their families, to highlight the armed forces for non-governmental and governmental organizations, and to honor those POW and MIA.
And what are going to be some of the activities that are going to be there? And by the way, this is October 8th. Oh, it's all up in the air. Oh, okay.
Well, we just had our second planning committee meeting this last week, so we'll know a little bit more next time you're kind enough to have us on our show.
What are you personally looking forward to putting in place? What would be some of the highlights that you would like to see?
Well, we will have a variety of historical stations, and historical station number one, the veterans will arrive, they will sign in, and they will announce their name, rank, and branch of service.
And then?
And then they will tour and walk around from station to station.
Oh, okay.
At about 12:30, the formal presentation, the honoring and thank you, will begin.
Great. And you're going to have some speakers?
Yes, we are. But they have not yet been
determined. No, I know. Right. Yeah, no, we're just, and I know, it's kind of, this is all so new right at the moment, but I want to get folks to mark their calendars, October 8th, right?
Absolutely. And we've entered into a commemorative partnership with the United States commemorative team. We will have lapel pins, bumper stickers, and a lot of cool swag.
And are you going to be talking about anything in benefits?
Yes, we are. And that will be announced the next time we're
right,
on the show.
Right. So you're going to have a little benefits table, then you're going to have these historical...
The historical stations,
right? And
yes,
then you're
going
to have a little presentation. Now, can they bring the whole family?
Absolutely. Senator Kowal mentioned right from the very beginning that it's a family event.
Great. Are they going to have enough bathrooms?
Absolutely. Per your recommendation, Bob.
One of the first things, folks. So that means, yeah, we can bring the kids, honey. You got that? Yeah. So you can bring mom and the kids and grandma and whomever, or an uncle who... you can bring these folks, right?
Absolutely. And civilians are welcome.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
Vietnam veteran era and veterans from other eras, everyone's welcome.
Absolutely. That's going to be October 8th on the lawn.
On the north and south lawn of the Capitol building outside.
Is it going to be finished?
Probably not.
Okay. So...
So my understanding, the scaffolding will be removed sometime in October, so it might not be done on time.
Okay. But they could also probably go into the building itself, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's cool.
Tour team will be ready and willing to assist them.
I've never been in the building. Never.
That's a shame, Bob.
I don't know. Find a place to park, right? Yeah. Okay. Well, that's going to be October 8th. And who are the sponsors of that?
At this time, we're currently working with sponsors, and we look forward to formally announcing them in the very near future.
I was thinking not so much that, but the senators and congressmen, who do you have behind them?
Absolutely. Anybody that was a veteran, the House of Representatives, the Michigan Senate, if they were a veteran, they will be a part of the formal ceremony.
Okay. Well, we're going to get the word out for you. What time can they arrive on the 8th?
It begins at noon.
All right. And then goes to...
About 3 o'clock.
Will there be food there? No food. Okay, so bring something. Oh, there's plenty to eat around, right? Because
Well, that has not yet been determined. As I said today, I just wanted to share the who, what, where, when, and why of the event.
Great. Yeah, sounds great. Good. October 8th. Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you, Bob.
And she is the Director of District Affairs, Office of Senate Majority, Floor Leader Mike Cole. What did you think about the Cannon thing, the event?
Absolutely fantastic.
Professionally
done, historical. I know all the attendees truly enjoyed the event.
And it was nice seeing those reenactors.
Absolutely.
Boy, those guys really, they get it right to the end all. Okay. Thank you very much, Lynn. And I think we're going to go to Yankee Doodle. Can we get the doodle? Can't get the doodle. All right. Good. So we're going to go right now to our next guest, and that's Dave Engel. Dave's from Temperance, Michigan, correct?
That's correct.
So where's Temperance, Michigan?
3 miles above Toledo.
Toledo. That's in Ohio.
So it's in
right?
Michigan. Yeah. Right. I'm not in Ohio.
All right. Okay.
I'm in Michigan.
And Dave, remember, folks, we always tell you to have a pencil, paper, and that has put together this fantastic book, Michigan Civil War Landmarks. If you have anything in your glove compartment or on your bookshelf, no, don't put it on the bookshelf. Put it on the coffee table. It's this, Michigan Civil War Landmarks. Dave, why did you write this?
Well, it came about, and by the way, I have a co-author, Karen Risco, who is from Lincoln Park. And how it came about was I had lunch with Jack Dempsey, who is the president of the Michigan Historical Commission. And he's also on the Michigan Sesquicentennial Committee for the Civil War that the state put together. And one of the things they wanted to accomplish was a history tourism guide that people could use to travel the state of Michigan.
And this is it, folks. This is really it. Go ahead.
And that's how it came about. Jack discussed it with us, and we decided to do it. We had done one on Southeast Michigan, so we extended it to the whole state. It took about 7 years to put together. Yeah, and I believe it or not, I went from Copper Harbor all the way to the Indiana-Ohio line.
Copper Harbor.
Yeah. And Copper Harbor was very important because Michigan copper was what fueled the Union Army as far as anything that they needed that had copper in it.
Like what?
You would have had bullets, belt buckles, things like that, pieces on cannons, numerous things.
And so they went to Michigan, northern Michigan, or UP, right?
Right.
One of the peninsulas to get their copper. And what else did they get from Michigan?
Well, they also got iron ore. Iron ore was important up there, but the UP was very important. A lot of interesting things. There's so many stories we don't have the time, but believe it or not, okay, Abraham Lincoln actually built a road from Copper Harbor to Green Bay to get the copper out. And we found out about that because the person who
is that road still there?
It's part of another road, but there is a plaque there with Lincoln's picture on it.
Wow.
Way there in the western part of the UP, believe it or not.
And he built this road and
to get it to Green Bay. So they could get it to...
Why didn't they smelt it in Michigan?
I can't really tell you why. They probably didn't have the facilities to completely do it.
Okay.
But Michigan was extremely prominent when it comes to the Union Army, particularly at Gettysburg, at the end of the war, tracking down the Lincoln conspirators.
I love that scene. I'm trying to think of the actor who played Custer. And here comes... Jeb Stuart, right?
He had, are you talking about?
Yeah,
they
Gettysburg.
Died with their boots on.
Yeah, well, yeah. But I mean Gettysburg.
Yeah.
When here comes Stuart, and he would have surrounded the Union Army.
He was trying to hit him from the back.
From the back, and they had what 5,000 cavalry?
I don't know exact numbers, but that probably was close. But you know that was in coordination with Pickett's charge, and the other important person from Michigan was Norman Hall, who was the last brigade commander that repulsed Pickett's charge. So you have two very important Michiganders, by the way, both from Monroe, Michigan, that were very prominent at Gettysburg.
Now, he charged Jeb Stuart in his line.
Yes.
And he I remember the line in the movie. Let's get them Wolverines.
Oh, come on, you Wolverines.
Yeah, come on, you Wolverines. Right. Is that true?
That's true. Custard. Custard.
He really did that.
Yeah.
How did he live through that? They had 5,000. He had 200.
Well, in Custer's cases, he had 11 horses shot from under him. So he was very fortunate. He only actually in the Civil War was wounded once. That was in the top of the boot. But you got to remember also, Bob, he was leading the Michigan Cavalry Brigade. They were all Michigan men. And at the time, the Union Army was always whipped by the Confederate Army. That was the first time they had defeated the Confederate Army.
Uh-huh. And?
And anyways, because of that victory, the Michigan Cavalry Brigade became probably the most famous, well-known Union cavalry in the Union.
Wow. Well, we've got about a minute. After the break, you're going to come back and then very quickly tell us how to obtain this book. And one last thing on that charge. How did they survive that when they had 5,000 against 200? You've got about 30 seconds.
There's a lot more than 200.
No, the Wolverines. How many? I thought there was 200, 300.
No, they were fairly equal amounts.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The thing to emphasize is the fact that the Union cavalry didn't defeat. They rarely won a battle against the Confederacy. Not only that, the main thing was they stopped Jeb Stuart from hitting the back of the Union line in coordination with Pickett's charge.
Oh, yeah, that was huge.
That would have
yeah.
been a huge disaster.
Yep.
And we all know about Gettysburg. If the Union had lost, the country may be different today.
Wow. We're going to bring Dave back right after the break, and we're going to have Tom Wright, and we're going to have Donna Yost, and we're going to talk about life chess, and we're going to talk about a lot of things. Stay tuned. You're listening to Veterans Radio. Don't you go away. Okay, we're back right now on Veterans Radio, live, coming to you live from WAA. Somebody asked me, what does AAM stand for? Ann Arbor, folks. WAAM, Talk Radio 1600, veteransradio.net. Well, this is sort of a potpourri, as we put on our flyer, a potpourri of veterans events, of veterans issues regarding memorabilia and what to do. You know, we still got about a couple more months before the snow comes, right? Okay, don't say that, Bob. The snow's going to be coming, though. And right now I have with me, again, author David Engel. Not Ingalls, but Engel. Do you ever get asked that?
Occasionally, yes.
You do get asked that?
Yeah, occasionally.
Okay. Well, Ingalls is...
from Laura and Wilder.
No, but wasn't he a governor, Ingalls? No.
No, there was one that ran for governor in Ohio, that name. But,
okay.
Yeah, but mine doesn't have an S on it.
All right. You have this this book, Michigan Civil War Landmarks. It's really cool. You want somewhere where you can take the whole family and take the kids and take mom and you got this book as a guide. You have it broken down by cities, and you have it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, we have it broken down by regions. We have Southeast Michigan, Southwest, Mid Michigan, and then the UP.
So how do they order this? Then do they order it by region? Tell us how to order.
There's many ways to get it. You can get it from the publisher, which is History Press at www.historypress.net. It's on Amazon.com. You can get it at Barnes & Noble.
And we have it on our bookstore, folks,
yes.
So you can also buy it from us.
I've seen it so far in most Barnes & Nobles in Michigan.
How's it selling?
It's doing very well, according to the publisher. But we were very excited to get a major publisher that's worldwide, and that's one of the things we wanted to do so we could promote Michigan all around the world. And we've got a lot of responses from
people.
You have
it in other languages?
They actually, they're selling it in other countries. I don't know if it's a different language.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen it in Japan, Germany. I don't know if they have it in those languages, but they're selling the book there. So that's the advantage of having a publisher that's worldwide.
So once again, how do you get the book? How about the website?
The website is www.historypress.net, but you can also get it on Amazon, which is very popular. And it has reviews right now. Unfortunately, we have 5 stars, so...
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
5 out of 5?
Yeah, well, we have 3 reviews.
New York Times, maybe?
I haven't seen it there yet. That would be incredible.
No, folks, I mean, we get all the time, excuse me, dads and moms and, honey, we got to do something. Well, this is what you can do. And you don't even have to Google the darn thing if you got the book, right?
That's correct.
You got everything here. You got pictures.
Just for example, there's plenty about Ann Arbor in there. Ann Arbor was a huge abolitionist hotbed.
Yes.
And we have a lot about the Underground Railroad. Michigan, of course, was very important because of the fact it was so close to, Canada.
And I happen to know here in Ann Arbor where the Underground Railroad houses are.
Mm-hmm.
They found one about 10 years ago by they were going to remodel the basement, and they knocked a wall down, and there was a room with a tunnel.
Right.
And they traced the tunnel back. I don't know who was brave enough to go in there after 150 years or what, but they traced it all the way back to the railroad tracks, to the railroad tracks.
Yeah, Michigan has some of the most well-known, prominent abolitionists were from Michigan.
Okay, we've got about one more minute, and you've got our listeners. Tell them why they should buy the book.
Well, there's a lot of different things involved in the book, but what it is a listing of markers, monuments, museum exhibits, buildings, forts, grave sites, and then we have a lot of fascinating stories about Michigan's role in the Civil War, which, again, I want to emphasize, was really incredible.
Yes, and would you please come back? And I want to do, I've had this book, Burning the White House, about the Civil War and burning the White House or going after the something about the White House. So we're going to be talking with you. You're going to become our de facto historian, Civil War historian. Dave, for just a moment, we'll probably jump back to you maybe at the end of the program, but thank you very much for coming on.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get to our next segment and take it, Chauncey.
Good morning, Vietnam! It's just a smidgen past 6:05, and here we go with another day's version of the Don Buster Show from Armed Forces Radio. I'm Airman Adrian Kronauer, and for the next 4 hours, we've got the best in popular music for you here, so let's get started right now with music!
Yeah, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. We all know about that. Everybody that knows that, raise your hand. Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, we did have all the hands here in the station. And that is a prelude to my next guest, Donna Yost, president of Life Chest. Donna, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you for having the Life Chest on. We're really excited about telling our story.
Well, I'm very excited about having you here. I met Donna at an event, and that was in Detroit, and you have the Life Chest, folks. We have all this memorabilia. You have your medals. You have maybe part of your uniform, your boots, your hat, whatever. And what do you go, hey man, I got it in a cardboard box. It's really safe. No, it's not. It's probably going to get moldy, and maybe get chewed up by the moths. That's what my grandmother called it, moths. Anyway, and you can have all kinds of things happen to your memorabilia, and you have something called the Life Chest. Tell us about that.
The Life Chest, Bob, is a very, very special place for all of that memorabilia, and one of the most beautiful ways to keep all of that memorabilia safe is by having it in a place that people can actually see and visit very easily. And with the help of a few very special veterans that I've met through building the life chest, we've come up with a design that I think is, one, really beautiful, and two, represents the individuals who have really been so instrumental in us being able to have the freedoms we have today and share their stories very easily and quickly through opening the lid of a life chest. And
okay, there are some folks that are that can go right now and take a look at this thing. Where do they go to take a look at this?
Actually, we have beautiful stories on our website. And
that is what?
TheLifeChest.com.
Okay.
And we also have a showroom right in Troy, Michigan, close to the Somerset Mall. And at that showroom, we have staged with real memorabilia from veterans around the country right in our showroom. So it's amazing to have a look through them.
And you're close to the cemetery up there. White Lake, I think it was. Right?
Whitechapel.
Whitechapel.
Yes, we are. We're very close to Whitechapel, 7 minutes away. We have actually spent time at Whitechapel and done some great events with Whitechapel and are going to be doing some in September.
So once again, while somebody is visiting a relative who was interned there, they can stop by because that's in Troy. They can stop by.
Your
show. Are you open 7 days a week?
We have our number right on. I'll give you our phone number,
sure.
And they can call. And I'm real close to our showroom, and we can set that up. So our address is 3331 West Big Beaver. And
that's 16 Mile, right?
That is 16 Mile. And we are Suite 118. Our phone number there is
here we are, folks.
Is 248-220-4978.
Give that again.
Okay, it's 248-220-4978. And again, on the website, you can visit and view some of the beautiful stories about some of the people we've given life chests to.
Well, we'll get into those perhaps even in another program, but right now I'm looking at this and it's an heirloom. It's a piece of furniture, okay? Get your stuff out of the shoe boxes. Get your stuff out of the cardboard boxes or the plastic pails or where in the heck you have it. Put it into something like this or the life chest because it's got everything. It's got, shelves. No, go ahead. Tell us, Donna.
There's a special tray on top,
tray,
and I know that all of the veterans we've talked to collect challenge coins. They have all kinds of medals, pins, everything you can think of that the veterans we've talked to keep fit very nicely in the top tray.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
What's the dimensions of this thing?
The life chest, this one is a little bigger than most of the life chests.
Okay.
The actual size is on the website.
Okay.
It's about 28 inches wide, about 15 inches deep, and almost 25 inches tall.
And it has some oomph to it, too.
It does.
It weighs about 70 pounds, right?
It does weigh almost 70 pounds.
Folks, we're talking about a piece of furniture, all right? You can have it in the living room. You can have it in the den. You can have it in the rec room. And folks are going to come over. Hey, what's that, Harry? And then that's where I've got. And they open that up, and you've got room for a complete uniform, for medals, for books, for.
There's also a hidden shelf in there, so you can have really intimate and private things that will be in that special place. So when people go through your life chest, you may have things you don't necessarily want others to see. So there is that special place there. The other thing that's really beautiful about the life chest is that it encourages families and veterans to share their stories. And opening up that life chest and holding a piece of that tangible memorabilia encourages people to talk. And that's one of the most beautiful things about the life chest is sharing those stories, bringing families back together.
Oh, I like that.
And being able to really celebrate everything that veteran has given to us so that we can have our freedom.
It's true, folks. I mean, do they come in different, I don't want to say colors,
We actually have 34 different styles of life chests, we do have two that are particularly for veterans and for military families, and we also have life chests for every other special occasion and for babies, weddings, everything. So our goal is to ensure that our veterans have that special place. They need to be honored. And this Freedom Life Chest does just that.
Okay. I want to say go to www.thelifechest.com and get all that information. Or you can remember, you're supposed to have that pencil already, 248-220-4978. There's a whole lot of other things, too. I know I wanted to... but they can go online and get all this information. You have something else too. What's that? The network that I found.
What we really are working on too, Bob, is getting veterans to work. So our Life Chest project is not just about saving the memories. It's also about helping our veterans contribute and get jobs. It's something that we're working on with Master Sergeant Mark Ranger Jones, Rangers from Washington, D.C.
Tell us about that.
It's really exciting for us because that is our purpose. I started this company with some young entrepreneurial women, and they are...
Any vets?
Pardon me?
Are they any vets? Are they veterans?
They're not veterans,
okay.
But what we are doing is encouraging our veterans to apply for working, building our life chests. And
Whoa.
We are working with a company called Ingrain right here in Detroit, actually out of Livonia. And we are also working with a lot of veterans collecting up the wood that's being demolitioned from the old homes in Detroit that they're taking down, and we're repurposing it, and we're building life chests from that wood.
Wow. Okay. And to find out more about work and employment, they should go to thelifechest.com?
Actually, we'll be having, we're setting up some programs right now, and we will try and get that information to you when we come back.
Thank you, Donna. You're going to come back, right?
I'm going to come back.
Right. And folks, I tell you, she's got biceps you wouldn't believe because she hauls this thing around, and it's really beautiful. It's something, thelifechest.com, and check that out. Right now, we're going to go for our last break. Nina Conway Truckload will be right back here on Talk Radio 1600. Jimmy Cliff, Vietnam. I wanted to play a couple of bars of that, but we didn't get a chance. Donna, real quick, there is going to be a promo code for Veterans Radio listeners. Go ahead.
On the website, you can go into the sales portion of the website, and we will have a promo code, and it will be for veterans. All veterans. And you click on that promo code, and you will be able to get a discount for life chest of your choice.
Oh, so, I like that. Not only do you get a great piece of furniture, you get a discount, too. Thank you very much for coming on. Okay.
Thanks
Would
for having
back?
Me, Bob.
Will
you come I'll, back? I'll be back, Bob.
Great. Okay, next with me, boy, this has been quite a day. Four folks here. Tom Wright. Tom Wright is a radio man. That's right. He's got all kinds of experience. In fact, he's been in this studio. And is that true? Were you here?
No, but... I did know Ted Heisel, who was on your air for many years.
Oh, yeah.
Great man.
Yeah. And I was in the studio with him. Tom, you know that there's a need for folks that travel to come to the Ann Arbor VA. And let's face it, Ann Arbor's Ann Arbor. There's no vacancy a lot of times. And so there is a need for somewhere that these families can go while their loved ones, their loved veterans, get the care at the Ann Arbor VA. And Tom saw that need, put a coalition of people together. I mean, we're talking about grassroots stuff, folks. This is what we're all interested in, and this is what I think we should all be thinking about, is that how can we contribute to the veterans' cause? Tom Wright is, well, tell us about this residential hall that you are sponsoring.
Well, we are looking to establish a 24-bed facility that will be able to house not only veterans, but also their families. The key that we see...
Can they cook there?
You can cook. You can do all kinds of things.
So it's going to be like a studio apartment.
That's what we're looking for as we plan this out. There's other examples of facilities like this, Fisher houses, et cetera, all over the United States. And
you're not going to be sponsored by Fisher.
No. We're doing a Heroes House. And the reason is...
I like that name a lot.
The reason that we're doing that is that... the process to go through the Fisher House is too long right now. We don't want our veterans to wait. They need this facility now. And, for instance, the cost since 2011 for their community hotel expense has gone up 31%.
Okay, so we know the need is there, but you have – it's sponsored by the service organization. What was that service organization that's going to be a sponsor of your event coming up in November?
It's the Ann Arbor Rotary Club.
Rotary, okay.
And they have graciously, they've spearheaded this. They've been dynamite. They've been in Ann Arbor for close to 100 years coming up this upcoming year. And the Rotary Club is right now in the planning stages with us to put on a Moth Our Veterans show.
How do you spell that?
M-O-T-H.
Like the moth.
Yes.
Flies to the flame.
Exactly.
What flame are they flying to?
They're flying to Hill Auditorium, which, of course, is a historic place here in Ann Arbor. And we're looking to have that November 11th at 6 p.m. I will have more details.
Why 6 p.m.? Is there any significance to that?
Not that I'm aware of, but...
But that's Veterans Day, right?
I believe it might be.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
November 11th at 11 is Veterans
Day. Lynn, you got to get close to the mic. Go ahead. Yeah.
I was just saying Veterans Day is November 11th at 11.
11-11-11. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So we that's going to be Veterans Day. Now,
yes.
I know... Prior to that, now here we go. The Moth. This is gonna we're gonna call this the Moth event. And does it have any significance why it's called Moth?
Yeah, there's a Moth Hour Theater that is done on radio across the United States, and they tell special stories. This is going to feature veterans and their stories. And prior to that, our goal is to work with the Ann Arbor Community Television Network, which is a free service here in Ann Arbor, and get those stories on the Community Television Network so people can learn more about the veterans in their own community and those who are traveling here.
Okay, did you hear that, all the vets out there? Stories. Right. Is this like the Veterans History Project? Yeah. And he, Tom, is collecting stories. That's right. You can be part of and tell your story. Well, tell us more about that, Tom.
I've been a community TV network producer at the Ann Arbor Community Television Network for a number of years, worked for PBS and NPR, and to me, it's critical to tell these stories so people understand the importance of giving to help our veterans and, more importantly, their families.
And what are you going to do with these stories?
What we're going to do is we're going to archive them and show them on the Community Television Network.
Oh, so it's going to be both audio and visual, right?
Absolutely.
And, okay, now there's about all my listeners, raise your hand, those that want to do this. Oh, there's a few hands went up. All right, so what do we do with these people?
If they could contact me and just email me.
Which is?
Thomas, T-H-O-M-A-S, J like James, N like Nancy, Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, at gmail.com. Or they can contact the VA and they'll have that information as to where it can go.
Well, I would say contact you.
Me would be better. Contacting the VA.
Do that again. Let's give you that again.
It's Thomas, T-H-O-M-A-S, J-N Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, at gmail.com.
There's no periods in that Thomas and Wright.
No.
There's nothing like
it's
that.
It's just all together.
And then they can apply to be part of the Moth, correct?
Absolutely.
Cool. And when are you going to start making these recordings?
We can start making these recordings at any point because all I have to do is schedule the studio
time. So you're ready to go.
I'm ready to go.
And you have questions ready for these folks? And
absolutely.
Can female veterans apply? Of course they can.
We would really prefer that we have a broad representation.
Uh-huh. And no pun.
Yes, no pun intended. I do that by nature.
Oh, that's it. What, you're going to cut me off? You can't do that. It's a bad pun. I know. But anyway, back to, we've got, what, three, Nina? 3 minutes. Okay. And is there something that you want to finish up with the Moth program and your, and I know that's a big project. It is, to get this residence. And you're not going to do this in the next 6 months. So the first thing is November the 11th.
Correct.
And that is you're going to be doing this with a Rotary. And up to that time, which is what, 3 months?
Yes.
90 days? You're going to be collecting stories. So once again, real quick, how do they get in touch with you?
Thomas J. N. Wright.
Yeah.
At gmail.com.
Okay. Got it.
And
well, go ahead.
If I could, I want to really highlight the need for this facility. Over 65,000 people per year use the VA Ann Arbor healthcare system.
Amen.
Now, you multiply that out to the number of appointments. There are 809,000 plus appointments.
Yeah, I had about 24 of those last year. So.
And so the result of that is, that means the people who are traveling have to come a very long way.
Right. So there is the need there.
And they're coming for chemotherapy, radiation oncology, traumatic brain injury, and spinal cord injury.
I like that because those are things that they're going to have to come into this area to get that tertiary. You didn't think I knew that word, secondary and tertiary care. So, Tom, we'll be giving to you. Between now and November 11th, we're going to have you back so that you can continue and let us know how successful that you've been in getting those stories.
Thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome. Last word time, Lynn, you're with the state, Lynn O'Brien, who's an aide to Senator Mike Kowal. What would you like to say?
I'd just like to remind people that our event will be Thursday, October 8th at noon. Please visit our website. www.michigansaysthanks.com.
Give that again.
www.michigansaysthanks.com.
Donna?
Yes.
You got 30 seconds. What do you want to say to our listeners?
I want every listener to know that we value our veterans and that we want them to have a very special place to put all of their memorabilia. Please go to www.thelifechest.com. We have a promo code for you, and we'll give you a great discount on a beautiful, beautiful place to put your stuff.
15 seconds, real quick. Dave?
I just want to say if you are interested in the American Civil War, and we're just coming off the sesquicentennial of the Civil War, Ken Burns' series is going to be rebroadcast pretty fast. Anyways,
okay.
That's it.
Well, we got to go next week. Until then, you are dismissed.